The scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 11. Book of Acts, chapter 11. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also has received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times. Then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you messages through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who I do think that would oppose God. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance into life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Koinshin, please stand for the gospel reading. This morning, the gospel is taken from the 13th chapter according to the gospel of St. John, beginning from verse 31. Glory to Christ, our Savior. John chapter 13, verse 31 to 38. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated.
Let us pray once again.
Gracious Father, we just want to quiet before you. Especially, we commit our brothers and sisters about to be confirmed unto your hand. Take them from where they are. Lead them forward. And oftentimes, it's not the straightforward thing as we human beings understand. But let us walk in the way that you have prepared for all of us. But you promised to be with us till the end of time. So we commit ourselves to you this morning and ask that you bless us together. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. It's thank you, Mika, and the blessing of coming back to SJSM for this service. And I really do not know where to touch because, you know, swimming, if you're a novice, you always try to touch the side of the pool so that you know where you are, right? And it gives you a sense of safety and confidence because you just throw right in the deep and you know what happened. So I don't want to reveal to you how old I am. Not that it's important, but I look at Vika, I'm sure he was not aware of this. How many of you know Lei Dai So? Wow. Then you should go to Chinatown. They have restarted the Heritage Center. I'm talking about that because there's a challenge which is a good, but there's also a danger that we forget our roots, our heritage. I think many Singapore young educated people don't know what's Lei Dai So. If you know Lei Dai So, you ought to know Ong To also, right? I don't know whether any of you have been down to the bridge under Elgin Bridge at night when the time is right. They don't need to remind, and they light the carbonate lamp, and then the story starts. Tiku and Tiku. This is where we are faced with a challenge. Today, you can do anything, even sermon, sorry to say. You don't need a pastor trained 3 years, 5 years at seminary. You just go to DeepSeek, AI. Many teachers now are having headache at the universities because you're teaching to give freedom. And freedom means I can do what I want to do as long as I fulfill the requirements. And you know, we are living in such a changed world. Where are you? Can you touch the side of the pool? Or you're right in the middle, but yet with all the gadgets and all the developments, not only Shenzhen, Huawei, but now you've got to go to Zhejiang. No more Silicon Valley, all right? And where do we end? Now, on one hand, we have to thank God for all this because I'm looking forward to the day when they can use all these AI things and do medical research and see how long I can live. Or if there's any incurable disease, I can know ahead of time and then specify my treatment. Now, all these are positive things. But we can only run and run that fast. And many of us, without assistance, how high can you jump? Six feet? Even with pole vault, how high can you go? There's always a limit, right? But the world is moving. They even go to space now, right? whether you like to communicate or not, you need GPS. Many of you drive. I still don't know how to use GPS. Don't worry, GPS is outdated. It's fatal. So this is where we are. And this morning as we come to this service, as we said, let's move on. But what is a journey from point A, if you ever get to point Z? In between, there are many points. And today, there are many broken bridges because of the flood, because of this and that. So there's a Chinese saying, you move one step forward, you three steps backward. It doesn't mean you're not improving, but maybe that's real life. Don't think you're always able to linear growth. That's what we are taught. And maybe many of us believe too. And we apply that into our Christian faith, our growth, and we praise the Lord because we know we can make it. But today, as we read the scriptures, it was very pointed readings. Not that I decided, but it's our liturgical calendar. I want to come to Acts 11 if I have the time. But if you read Acts 11, what do you feel about Peter? That so-called, whether self-decided or whatever, finally he is the leader of the pack, if you like to put it, right? And yet I always read Peter with a sense of very, I don't know how to respond. Because after that incident, Acts 11, 10 and 11, and the Jerusalem Council meeting to assess, to evaluate, and to interrogate him in chapter 15. The rest of the Acts, you don't find Peter anymore. Now, that's a very telling point for me, especially at this age of myself. Long over the hump, where will you be? I've always read with a pain, a sense of lost. That's such a big, important book, right? The history of the early church, the birth of the church. Now, after Holy Week and all that, Good Friday, Pentecost, we move forward, right? But then Peter, now I say this not to scare you or what, but this is where the storytelling really, it's not just high talks, systematic concepts, but real life. It's recorded that after Acts 15, that great book about the church, I can't find Peter anymore. So the question to you and to me, before to you, is that where would you be at the end of the day? It's not so much what I want to be, but what God inspired people, his people, to record. To me, that was the most telling thing I learned about the book of Acts. I'll come to that later on. Why Peter, being the leader who is supposed to lead the pack in all steps, in all directions and all that, and you have just started, so to speak, your confirmation on the new face. You have the responsibility not only to yourself, right? To the people around you, the generations after you. That the world at large, as you say, to reach out to people. If you are lost, you are not mentioned anymore, you know the feeling? Especially for people who are retired. It's a great feeling. Have to learn to say your days are over. Don't expect anything. But can you live with that? So this morning, I just want to be very frank with you. Because I think when I go down to the Elgin Bridge, under the bridge, to listen to the storyteller, even before late I saw an Ong Toh, they're already there. You might not know their name, but they tell you in stories. It's so captivating. No J-pop, K-pop, whatever pop you have. You need all the actions, right? There's just one fellow talking there. But what he tells, speaks, captivates, your attention, you can hear the pin drop. Later, I saw, came later with ready fusion. So whether we can go back to that point zero before you even take off, that we know who we are. So this morning from the Gospel reading, John, which is again very not easy because I have to learn to ask is the question to myself first. Peter in the Gospel of John actually is not mentioned too many times. Peter has expressed his opinion, offered suggestion. On hindsight, we now feel very good. But there's one time, one occasion, and this is what today we read in John chapter 13, when he was not contented with the answer. He pushed, which we are very good. We are taught to push the envelope, right? Don't take yes for an answer. That's the modern education. I hope I'm not wrong. And then that's the only time recorded of Peter. When, after, it was very pointed. It was after the time when Judas, after all said and done, he went out. It was night. Now this is called storytelling, right? What does night mean to you? Depending on your experience, right? It was night. So what do you do? Of the 12, they left only 11. Right? And when he had gone out, John chapter 13, 31, pick up that point. Because in chapter verse 30, it says, he immediately went out, it was night. You don't need to say much. You don't need logic. You don't need a scientist. It was night. He went out, Judas. And after he gone out, verse 31, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now, can you reconcile the thing? He is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also be glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Now, how many times the word glorify is used in this very short two verses? That's called storytelling. They don't mind repeating. Today we have no patience, right? So what is glory? And why did Jesus choose at this time to say now? He's not just trying to say something important to himself. In verse 33, he go on to say, little children. Now, these are all mature fellows, you know. Peter and John and Andrew and all that can weather the storm of the seas, the Tiberias Sea, doing fishing as a fisherman. You think it's so easy? They've been through storms. They've been through all catchless night. What a disappointment, right? Jesus say, little children. Now, we don't want to be belittled. We don't like people to always say, he's the son and daughter of so-and-so. You always say, let me be myself, right? Little children. Are there things in life that we are really little children? In fact, I prefer to be little children now after looking at what the world is going through. Don't try to be too smart. Try to know to us because next year the curriculum will change. Yours will be outdated. Right? I don't know now, they say last time, what theory, and in 5 years every chip will, so 5 years, 5 years lifespan. Now, if you got 1 year lifespan, you thank God. With AI coming in, right? Little children, yet a little while, I'm with you. Not too long. you will seek me because you have been so used to going around with me. You depended on me for so many things, right? When you have no water, you have no, the people have no food, you say where to buy, send them away. Jesus said, no, you let them, you feed them. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I'm also saying to you. He says, where I am going, you cannot come. Now that's very daunting to on your confirmation Sunday to remind us. Are you prepared? Are you able to accept there are places that we cannot go? No matter how mature a Christian you are, we always think we can, as long as we attend courses, seminars, and all that. We can go. As long as you pray to the Lord, He will lead and guide you. But here it says, where I'm going now, you cannot go. But in the meantime, He went on. He did not stop there. So you cannot go. What do you do in the meantime? This vacuum or blank. How do you fill the gaps? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you learn to love one another as I have loved you. It is only by this all people will know. It's not how much you talk about God, how much you pray, what is your theology, what is your experience. By this experience that you love one another as I love you, the people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Goes without saying, I think we all want to bless, ask the Lord to bless HJSM Village and all that, the total ministry that you're doing. Don't belittle anyone. People will know that you are my disciples. You can be disciples of many things, or speakers, or great evangelists, right? But my disciples, only when you have love for one another. So I think this is a great point to the blessing to the HJSM family as you embark on this almost humanly monumented impossible task. It's not just today. Whether there are other generations of concerned staff, lay and all that, to join the to re-strengthen the second generation and third. I was very glad, as I was just having a quick word with Pastor Vincent Hoon. His hair is whiter than mine. He will know because he has a daughter who is in palliative care. And Singapore now is scrambling because many so-called nursing aides, the pressure of work in Singapore is too high. Right? It's in the newspapers. Where do they go? Singapore is no more the first choice. But who to fill the gaps? I don't know. I don't think Lawrence Wong, our Prime Minister, knows the answer. But here is the challenge and the blessing to HJSM. But you must not be overconfident about yourself. Know that this journey goes on. This journey goes on. And Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now, are we able, humble and honest enough, courageous enough to accept no? Jesus said, you cannot come. I think for good reason. Now, if you look into Acts, I think one of the reasons why Jesus said that to Peter, because deep down, Peter has not probably deal with the deepest problem in his life. Because he's so particular and he's so, you know, so of his tradition, his faith culture, religion culture, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. That's good. There were certain group of people, you're top. But you cannot move on with when God wants to move beyond your boundaries, then you feel uncomfortable, right? You don't know what to do. Sadly, but for our benefit. Sorry to say we are not benefiting from the failure of Peter, but that storytelling. And that was the last major record of Peter in that great book of Acts. So today, I don't know whether this is a present to you or value. I pray and hope that it is, to really understand and be honest and courageous, but humble enough. But also to be proud enough to know who you are before you move on. Don't have long. We don't want to, I'm not a politician, but today, no, I understand someone had traveled to some country their first time in his office, in the inauguration, and make hundreds of millions of business deals with a Middle Eastern country, and signing into his own crypto bank. I don't have money to put in crypto. You know, it's tremendous, right? That's the world. Everyone is jumping, diving in. But Peter, the story is for us. And it's painful, right? We don't benefit from the pain of other people, the failure. But that is called Bible storytelling. Not in theories, not in big theological terms, but human touch. And then when Jesus say, "Where I'm going, you cannot come," he did not stop there. And then in verse 36, Simon Peter, it's interesting, he's called Simon Peter, said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Now that's not a wrong question in itself. Because later on, at least we can find in chapter 14 there, where Thomas, another disciple, who says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" At least they are honest and humble enough to ask, "Lord, where are you going?" Now, I think that's the question in itself is right. Actually, it's important because how many of us as Christians, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 30, 40 years, actually bother to ask, "Lord, where are you going?" We thought we have arrived, right? Because the way that our Christian culture today, I wouldn't want to go into specifics, but you know what I mean. "Lord, where are you going?" It can be a very humble question, but it can be also slightly tinged with arrogance. "Where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going now, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now." Now, on this first part, how would you respond? As a lead of the pack, especially those who are so-called trained to be or self-appointed leaders, Jesus say, "You cannot follow me now." Have we ever learned to accept, reflect on that question? There's something other people. We thank God for other people who are doing better than us. But can we really thank? But then he went on to say, "You cannot follow now, but you will follow afterwards." The now and the afterwards are very important sequences. We have to make that careful distinction because it was Jesus who made that distinction. Now, taking the conversation, the dialogue further, how would you respond? Now, in verse 37, Peter, we always think he's right. He says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now?" Instead of stopping the conversation dialogue there, accepting, he wants to push the envelope. "Why I cannot come?" I think we know that, I think Jesus knows him better than himself. He knows himself. "If you come now, you're finished. My ministry also will be disrupted by you." Because, you know, later on, when Jesus was arrested and the people came, who was the one who had the sword? Who had the sword and pulled out the sword and struck out the ear of the servant? It wasn't wrong totally, right? But this is what we call flesh and blood. But that's Peter. So Peter did not know himself enough. And he said, why can I not follow you now? Isn't it logical? I'm the leader of the pack. In earlier in chapter 13, you have not only washed my feet, right? He said, wash my hands, my head also. You know, he overreacts. Sometimes the vicar who is leader of the team of CP will tell you, this is maybe it's a defense mechanism. Right? No, I just wash your feet. Jesus said, that's more than enough. But he said, no, my hands, my head, all that, you know. So he's pushing the envelope. And now say, why can I not follow you? I just want you to, for today, this purpose, this Sunday, to pause. Why I cannot follow you? Now, to me, reading from a positive side, at least Peter asked. How many of us as Christian, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, would even bother to ask? We think we are beyond that stage. We are up seven, we are up in the heavens. Right? We praise God, we sing and all that. These are all very 101 questions. Why can I not follow you? It might be, say, I would never ask such stupid question. Spiritually immature. But point is, Peter seems to not to be listening to what Jesus said. He didn't say you cannot follow me. He only said now. But afterwards, whether you like it or not, you got to come. And that was the time, that's the time maybe you're not too ready to go. You remember in John, we're jumping into John chapter 21, when you're old, you are bound by feet and all that, you'll be led to go where you do not want to go. Would you still want to come? So Jesus just said, now you cannot. Because going this road, I always have a very deep appreciation for SJSM. Going up and coming down the stairs is a great exercise. It's a great exercise, not physical, but also spiritual exercise. You know what I mean? So Peter has to learn. So today I just want to, it's storytelling, it's not systematic point by point. But I hope you get the point. Because in the Gospel of John, actually, we won't go into other Gospel. Actually, Peter is not featured very much, but the one time that it was featured, wow, you say, tremendous. You know, John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, and then Jesus started telling something deeper truth, and many people, what? Turn away. In Singapore terms, say, touch him. Too deep, right? We always like, no, package thing. Kachin. Many were turning away. Jesus turned to his disciples. Are you also going away? Now, no one could give a better answer than Peter, right? You have the living words. Where do we turn? The Holy One of God. That's the only time in John where you say, Peter, then how come you, chapter 6, you gave the perfect answer, and then here, you don't understand things. So it's not just one of Peter. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus felt that at a point of critical point, he had to make sure before he moved forward, his disciples really know who he is. Right, in Matthew chapter 16, it's Caesarea Philippi. He turned to his disciples and said, who do men say I am? It's okay, other people's opinion. But Jesus' point was, who do you say I am? Looking at the disciples. And who could give a better answer? well, John the Baptist, whatever, Elijah, and anyone even say Jeremiah. Not forgotten Jeremiah, if you know who is Jeremiah. But after that, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Holy One of God. And Jesus said, I shall build my church on this rock. Peter can just shut off with the super answers. He can fly up to the sky. But yet, when it comes to the real issue, when the time we have to be quiet and really listen, he has his match. Why can I not come? So this is Peter, if I take you on the under Elgin Bridge, the storytelling. So it's not just Peter, high point, low point, to condemn him, judge him, but take him in his storyline. And this is a very critical point, because after this, when Peter either overreact, wash my feet, not enough, my hands, my head. Then as they were reclining at table, and Jesus' heart was troubled, right? And then he was talking about someone among them were forsaken. Peter maybe also learned. I think this is what I call smart tactic. He didn't dare to ask direct. He nudged the one nearest to Jesus, that the disciple supposedly to be the most loved by Jesus. So if he gets scolded, he will be scolded, not me. And then say, who is the one? If I use the local term, colloquial term here, Peter after hearing said, heng ah, mziwa. Not him. So you are free of the responsibility to think, reflect on yourself. Then Jesus started telling all this, I shall be glorified and things like that, where I'm going. Now, Peter, instead of listening and reflecting all these words, he just bothered to ask, why I cannot come? You know what I mean? In life, we are also like that. I hope we are not. And that we will take things at its stride. Doesn't mean slow is slower than people. It's important to reflect what is the real question, the real point that Jesus is saying. You cannot come. But in the meantime, love one another as I love you. That's almost the same as going with him. Because in John chapter 12 onwards under 17, the most discussion on the word love is in these chapters. I won't go into that. But we cannot love on our own, human beings. Much as we try, much as we like, those of us who are parents, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a jala, right? Right? But Jesus at this point in the chapters 13 to 17 went into the longest discourse ever, opening up. It's not just chapter 17. And this is where the helper, the Holy Spirit, is introduced. So I hope you want to do a study of Holy Spirit. Never, never forget John chapter 13 to 17. And when he comes, he will tell you things of me and will bring to remembrance the things about me. Now, I just want to leave it to you that the most extensive discourse on the Holy Spirit ever is in this few chapters. It's talking about love as well. It's talking about now and afterwards. When I go, but in the meantime, what do you do? On your own, we cannot, but the Holy Spirit as a helper will come to enable you. But those who love me will have my commandments and keep my commandments. Then my Father and I will come and dwell in them and stay with them and manifest. I leave it to you. So today, I just want to lead you on this journey.
asking hopefully the right question, looking at the right issues, not to be carried away by what's happening in the world today. Of course, we have to learn. But getting the real question is not an AI thing. It's not a deep seek thing. It's for you, your faith, your God, Jesus, and to know when and how. Jesus said, you cannot come now because the way of the cross can be borne by no other people, only Christ himself. Now, when Jesus was in the garden, Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father, if it is possible, take this cup away. Now, I think Jesus himself sensed that maybe is not the right point. So he prayed a second time. If it's not possible, unless I drink, your will. So Jesus also has to learn the right language, because that storytelling is for us, you know. And the third time he prayed again, it came, look, Peter was sleeping. Before that, he says, I will never deny you. He was sleeping. And Jesus went to pray again. No words were recorded. He prayed the same. So I feel, then why should you pray the third time? The second prayer, your answer was perfect, but if it cannot be passed unless I drink, that's already a self-evident answer, right? Why do you still ask? Even Jesus in his journey has to learn the maturity, responsibility of a son. What more, Peter and the rest of us? I cannot now come. But you can. You won't. It's not ask you to just be static, hang ta kaki, just beat on the spot. The world changes, the world moves. And how are you able to respond? So may the Lord bless all of you as you move on. There are so many challenges ahead, and the more important is we ourselves. We have to accept ourselves, not before the world, but before God and Christ. May the Lord bless all of you. Amen.